Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, on the sixth Sunday of Pascha, we read about the blind man. And we're preparing now for Ascension. Ascension is this Thursday, and then another Sunday, and a Sunday after that is Pentecost. So we are rapidly approaching Pentecost and the end of the Pentecostarian. I hope we have learned our lessons well. And again, the lesson is how the resurrection enlightens a man. How it truly enlightens a man. Every bit of a man. It heals him, forgives him, makes him able to fulfill the commandments of God. And we can see that if we look closely in this story of the blind man. But we can see some other things too. There's a lot of depravity in this story. We should learn from this depravity as well. And if any of the depravity fits us, then we should repent of it. And if any of the blessedness is how we are acting, we should rejoice. Now Jesus is passing by and he sees a man who doesn't even have eyes. If you're attentive to the services, he mentions this. He didn't even have eyes. That's part of the reason why the people, when he was healed, said, well, he looks like him, sort of, but he's like him. The person they knew before didn't have eyes. Now he has eyes and he could see. So he sees this man. And his disciples, who are men of their era, believed that people who had such afflictions or women who were barren, etc., that it was because of sin. So they ask this question, why? Who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God might be manifest in him. It is a mystery for us why people suffer. Sometimes they suffer because of their sins. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes God chastens them in order to bring them to repentance. Sometimes their activity debilitates their body, and they suffer because of that reason. Or that debilitates their social relationships with their family or whatever. Other times, it is just a mystery. We don't understand. For this man, the purpose was so that the works of God would be made manifest and so that his healing would be recorded and we would learn something from it. How many countless millions have learned of the mysteries and the mercy of God from this story? So he goes and he makes clay with spittle and he puts it on his eyes. The fathers say this is so that when he was healed, nobody would attribute the healing only to the waters of Siloam. His healing was affected because of his obedience to Christ. Christ put clay on his eyes and told him to wash. And this man had to stumble through the streets, people jeering at him with mud on his eyes, probably streaming down his face. He probably looked quite a spectacle. And he had to find the pool of Siloam. It was quite a difficult thing for him. Some of us have gone through this. Some of us have come to Orthodoxy through great struggle, through great difficulties. Our walk to the pool of Siloam was difficult. Others of us have, by the grace of God, been brought into the faith from a very early age. Now the man washes in the pool and he sees. What a great miracle. And yet on the day in which he can finally see for the first time in his life, he's accosted immediately. Now here is where we can really find food for thought, something that will teach us how to live. This man is given this great blessing. We are given great blessings. Everything that God gives us in the faith in order to strengthen us, in order to heal us and make us complete. We're people without eyes too, you know. Many, many things we do not see. Sometimes there are things we will not to see, and other times we're just not quite ready to see. Anyone who's been Orthodox for any period of time has come to the realization at some point of a sin in their life that they hadn't thought of before. That sin was there previously, but we hadn't thought of it before. We didn't look at it a particular way. And it's a difficult realization when you realize you've been doing something that's been terrible for year after year after year. We're blind. And unfortunately for us, there are many sins and many ways of thinking, ways of life, ways of living that we still participate in that we don't understand to be sins. We don't understand the full gravity of them. We don't understand fully how what we do in our life cripples us. Every single one of us in this room, to a greater or lesser degree, has this blindness. This blindness is a terrible, terrible tragedy. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He came to enlighten us in all things, and the Holy Spirit was sent to enlighten us about the things of Christ. And yet, there is darkness in us. So we have blindness, just like this blind man. So the blind man, when he is healed, he's immediately accosted. We have this happening to us as well. I wonder if we have the same kind of resolve, the same kind of strength that this blind man had. This is a man who knew very little about Christ at all. Maybe he had heard the name. Blind men didn't get around very much in that society. Cripples and the lame and people who had afflictions, they were outside of the society in many ways. So he knew very little about Christ. Maybe only the name. That's all he could say, that a man healed me. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he went. He hadn't seen him. And then he's questioned by the Jews. This questioning, you should read attentively and carefully. You can see his soul open like a flower. Slowly. More quickly towards the end. When they question him, he answers them forthrightly and honestly. But then their very effort against him, the bile that they show for him, and the virulence of their expressions, makes him realize something. It touches him, makes him realize, well, you know, there's the old saying, the lady protested too much. And that is indeed what the Jews did. So the man, by the grace of God, started to realize there was something to this healing. There was something to this man who healed him. So he came to the conclusion, he is a prophet. That's closer to the truth. And it was an honest appraisal. It was not quite correct, but it was courageous to say. Because at this point, this man knew that the rest of his life in Jewish society hung in the balance. That the things he would say in the next few minutes would affect him for the rest of his life. His parents knew it, and they were afraid. And so they committed a great sin, a great blasphemy, by refusing to witness. So as the man has continued to be questioned, then he starts to really realize what's happening. This is just a germ in his heart now. Doesn't quite understand in the specifics. He wouldn't have been able to say, if you were to walk up to him and say, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? He wouldn't have been able to say yes or no. He wouldn't have understood the question. But he had courage. He knew something had happened to him, and it was not just the giving of eyes. So what did he do? He witnessed with courage. Never has it ever been said or heard that a man could heal a man without eyes. A man that's born blind. This man has healed me. If he were not of God, he could do nothing. And then, of course, the Jews become very, very angry and cast him out. Now, this conversation that the man has with the Jews is what we go through. Many of us fail miserably in this conversation sometimes. It is the struggles of our life. It is the demons against us. We've been enlightened. But the amount of our enlightenment depends on how we react to the grace that God has given us. This man was given enlightenment a little bit. But he showed good character, so that later on, after he had passed through a trial, Jesus fully enlightened him when he saw him, and the man then was touched and knew he was the Son of God and worshipped him, and certainly became his disciple. This is an example for us. We have blindness, just like this man. Some of it's brought on by our sins, and some of it is not because of our sins. It is because of our nature. Some of it is from outside. Some of it is from within. And we have many struggles. The demons telling us, don't try so hard. You're not going to do it good anyway. That to me is the major problem in our spiritual lives, is that we so often just don't believe we're really going to get fixed. We don't really believe in the resurrection. I believe that with all my heart. Every day I live longer, I realize how important it is to believe in the resurrection, not as an event, but as an existential reality in our lives. It orders everything we are. But we don't believe it enough. We don't really believe it. If we really believed it, sins that we struggle with would truly go away. May God help us to really believe and to not give in to the interrogation of the demons and to the world. The world tells us opposite of what we speak of in church. The world tries to tell us not to be so extreme in our religion. That's a minor way of doing it. That kills many souls. Or it tells us that we're flat crazy to believe what we believe. Mostly it's don't be too extreme. Well, indeed, as Christians, we should be extreme. Sins that we commit should bother us intensely and deeply. We should pray with fervor in our hearts. Beg God to enlighten us. If we do that, we pass through that trial, God will fully enlighten us. It's hard to imagine what God really wants to give us. We are like that blind man, brothers and sisters. He was given vision, but he didn't know yet what the gift was that awaited him. He knew a little bit, but if he had not followed through, shown good character, God would not have fully enlightened him. We are in that situation. We've been brought to the church through baptism. We have been given multiple graces. God sheds his grace upon us in ways we cannot understand and cannot always even see. But we're required to live according to the commandments, to struggle, to form good character. Otherwise, we will not be fully enlightened and we won't be fully healed. What a tragedy. What a tragedy for this blind man. If he had been given eyes and then if he had kowtowed to the powers that be in the world, and fit into his little niche in society and missed the enlightenment of the God-man. He would have still had his eyes, but he would have died 20, 30, 40 years later. 40 years after that, Jerusalem would be razed by the Romans. and it would be it. He made the right choice. And we must make the right choice. Struggle in your life against the demons that tell you things, against the world, against your own motivations that are false, your own passions that lead you away from God. Struggle. Because you're looking for this, the final enlightenment. We haven't attained it yet, none of us. It's promised to us. We are given the promise that we will become sons of God. Jesus Christ will call us friends, but we must live as friends of Christ. And then we will be fully enlightened. The story has great promise. A man who knew nothing about Christ at all was enlightened. We, who aforetime were dead in our sins and knew nothing about Christ, nothing about virtue, we are enlightened. May we continue along the path that God has prescribed for us in struggles and be fully enlightened. Let us not just have eyes. Let us be, as the cherubim, all eyes. That is what we should be. All eyes and all fire and all enlightenment. That is what God wishes for us. May we live a life so that he would be able to fully enlighten us. Amen.